This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. It is 20 minutes past 7 in the morning. I'm Chuang, joined by Wong Xiaoning. Now, our beloved finance minister, YB Lim Guan Eng, was attending a lunch yesterday, the 60th Pan-Asian E-Commerce Alliance luncheon. And guess what? He took that as an opportunity to discuss the fact that the government's current development expenditure will spill over the next year and provide a good support for the country's growth. He said that whatever not spent this year will be spent in next year and therefore provide a nice cushion for what will be otherwise quite a, I guess, challenging year for global markets.
Yeah, he said that the government is more confident of seeing economic growth as 2 years of development expenditure will be spent in one. Now, the government projected Malaysia's GDP to grow by 4.8% in 2020, which is much higher than the anticipated 4.7% for 2019. In fact, this 4.8% is the highest on the street, because if we look at some of the analysts or some of the economists, most are kind of forecasting between, I think the lowest I've seen is 4.2 all the way to about 4.6. So our government is pretty optimistic for next year.
We'll have to wait and see, right? Because obviously, self-praise is no praise. But they know best, right?
Maybe they see something we don't.
Maybe they see something that we don't. And what they do see is the fact that they have, they've got complete control, right? So they reckon that in 2020, they'll be spending 56 billion ringgit on development expenditure. That's higher than the nearly 54 billion from a year ago.
Now, the spillover spending is due to the government actually, or in a way, we didn't spend in 2019 and we're going to spend in 2020, because some of these projects were delayed in the sense that they were done through open tender, right? So this will cause more time to be taken for new projects to be rolled out. So it's not like we didn't do anything in 2019. It's just that in this new government, everybody is a little bit more open to these open tenders.
Open tenders. Yeah, so 53.2 billion ringgit for 4,700 ongoing projects, nearly 3 billion for 722 new projects, and that's the spend for 2020. 56 billion will go quite some way, I guess, but it doesn't necessarily equate to growth, because according to Sunway University Business School Economics Professor Dr. Ye Kim Leng, this twofold spending will more likely offset the potential downside risks amid increasing signs of the global slowdown, especially from the US-China trade war.
Now, this view is also echoed by the Social Economic Research Centre Executive Director Lee Heng Jui, who said that private sector will actually still be the primary driver of economic growth. So there's only so much, in a way, a government can do.
And I guess it's just also echoed in the global hemisphere, because according to Moody's, they revised their global sovereign outlook for 2020 to negative from stable. And what they mean is that when they talk about sovereigns, it's all about countries and governments, right, and the economies. So they reckon it's going to be negative in 2020. That's a downgrade from stable. So how much should we read into this? It's basically an outlook recommendation, isn't it?
It's kind of like warning you know, that 2020 is probably not going to be an easy year. And they cite many reasons. Of course, one is disruptive and unpredictable world politics that's, of course, going to have an impact on growth and also increase the risk of any economic or financial shocks. Now, in fact, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, they've already downgraded global growth forecast to 3%. But our own finance minister, Lim Guan Eng, said that Malaysia's economy has performed more resiliently than others. And he says, despite this moody outlook, he believes that Malaysia's rating remains stable.
And that Malaysia has registered a GDP of 4.9% year-on-year in the second quarter, faster than the 4.5% growth in Q1. And he expects the country's GDP to expand at 4.7% for the whole of 2019. Was it 4.7 or 4.8%? Somewhere in between, right?
Yeah, but I think what's important to take note of is that unlike most of our regional neighbours, we actually saw an increase in GDP quarter on quarter. If you look at the likes of Singapore or Hong Kong, they didn't have such a good time.
They were
really impacted by the global growth slowdown and also the US-China trade war. The fortunate thing for Malaysia is that we are in many ways lucky. We have natural resources. And if anything, at the moment, look at CPO price. It's 2006 and that's still one of our largest economic cash crops. Big contributor to GDP, about 5 to 7%, contributing as much as 50 billion a year. So if CPO prices stay high for 2019, the fourth quarter, and maybe into 1Q 2020, it's good news for us. Plus we're still a net oil exporter in terms of gas.
That's right. Brent is at $62, West Texas crude futures $57. And you're right, despite this whole issue about the Indian ban or potential ban on Malaysian palm oil, those prices are quite resilient.
Yeah, so we're kind of lucky at the moment. But the question is, how will... Okay, we know this Friday GDP numbers are going to come out. It'll be interesting to see what the number will be, whether it will be lower than the 4.9% we saw in the second quarter.
It would be a huge achievement if she got higher than 4.9, because it's basically the sequential trend line, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing to look at for is that, you know, Lim Guan Eng has said that if things turn for worse, then here we go. Stimulus package, we'll probably see some fiscal spending and that the government, you know, is looking at providing as much as 20.7 billion cash and non-cash incentives for the next year. I mean, this is, of course, to help companies transition to Industry 4.0. Now, another interesting thing to look at is, of course, Petronas, because that, whatever said and done, is our largest company in Malaysia. Unlisted. It's the only, I think, one of the two Fortune 500 companies that we have in Malaysia.
I didn't know that there was another one.
Yeah, if I'm not wrong, Maybank is on that list too.
Oh, really? Yes. Fortune 200 or Fortune 500?
Fortune 500.
Not 200.
No, not 200. Petronas is in the Fortune 200.
Fortune 200, it is. So, of course, Mohammad Azmin Ali, YB to you and me, Dato Sri, in Economic Affairs Minister, was in Parliament yesterday. He said that 60% of contracts this year from Petronas have gone to local vendors, and the only exception to this rule has been in specific and technical areas such as in proprietary systems and digital technology, where locals are very limited in terms of expertise. And one instance he quoted was on seismic deep water acquisition services, because obviously that's where the oils are. You have to go much, much deeper to get it, and that requires high capital and use of complex technology, and there's only four companies in the world that can provide such services.
Yeah, our minister said that currently 108 companies from Petronas's vendor program have benefited from contracts worth approximately 9 billion ringgit as of October this year. Now, four of those companies have since been listed on Bursa. So we're looking at the likes of Serba Dynamic, Dayang, Sapura Energy and Delium. Now, while 30 of these companies have operations overseas, in which 17 are in Asia, 8 in Middle East, 2 in North America, 1 each in South America and UK. My question is, are they as competitive as their international peers?
Yeah, and that's a big question mark, right? But I mean, we've seen. For example, Sapura Energy, they've made big inroads into places like Brazil. Yinson has just won a big deal for FPSOs in Brazil as well. It's a process, I think, but it is a good process. And I think who better than Petronas to be able to galvanize our local players? And very much in the same oil and gas vein, Dialog, which is obviously known for its Pengerang bunkering services in Johor, is now looking for upstream assets. And one local vendor, obviously, is this. It's the largest oil and gas service provided by market value. And they had a 44% jump in yearly net profit this week. They're looking to expand and into upstream. They've really got their downstream. They want to go upstream.
Well, you know, this company is a hot favorite with the market. You know, if you look at it, right, the valuations are not cheap. At the top of my head, it's trading at 33 times PE. But it's a darling because so far it has yet to disappoint. It's got a nice balance of for an oil and gas company, relatively resilient earnings. And that's, of course, from its bunkering and tankering services in Pengerang. And I think Pengerang is definitely going to be the new angle, new driver of growth. It's Malaysia's most expensive project, you know, and it's something that will definitely see a multiplier effect. It's going to be a big contributor to our GDP. And I actually had this discussion with Datuk Muhammad Arif Muhammad, who is the Executive Vice President and CEO of Petronas Downstream. You can listen to this Breakfast Grill on the BFM app or on Spotify, and he'll tell you about how important Pengerang is.
You're right. You're spot on. 32.98 per times is the price earnings ratio. Okay, it is now 7:28 in the morning. We're going to be coming back with the 7:30 international with the 7:30 news, and after that, more local items. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.